Doubt is the precursor to fear, and I knew that I couldn't experience my perfect moment if I was afraid. I had to visualize and rehearse enough to remove all doubt.
Today we have the Neil Armstrong of rock climbing, Alex Honnold, and he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff.
We have a
liftoff. We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast, the podcast designed to unlock and unleash the superpower that is within all of us. Speaking of superpowers, super people, we have Alex Honnold. He is considered the Neil Armstrong, the Wayne Gretzky, the Tom Brady of rock climbing. You may know him if you've watched the Netflix 2018 documentary that was filmed by National Geographic, where he scaled Yosemite's El Capitan without any ropes. It's crazy. If you haven't seen the film, definitely check it out. It's called Free Solo on Netflix. A few notes before we get rolling here. When you solo a mountain, that means you have no ropes. That's right. You are climbing. If you slip and fall, you will certainly die. And he references El Cap, which is meaning El Capitan. And El Cap is a vertical rock formation in Yosemite National Park. Beautiful place in the world if you've never gone. It's located on the north side of Yosemite Valley, and it's near its western end. And this is a granite monolith. It's about 3,000 feet tall from the base to the summit, and along its tallest face, and is a popular objective for most rock climbers that use ropes. Again, Alex does it rope-free, first person to do it. The formation was called El Capitan by the Mariposa Battalion. If you're familiar with Spanish, what an awesome battalion name. Mariposa means butterfly, so the Butterfly Battalion, when they explored the valley in 1851. And El Capitan, the captain, the chief, was taken to be a loose Spanish translation of the local Native American name for the cliff, variously described as Totocanhuala, and hopefully I got that right. Totocanhuala is another pronunciation. And it's really unclear if the Native American's name referred to a specific tribal chief or simply meant the chief or rock chief. You'll get a lot out of these tips. I know I am just amazed at how someone can do this. I don't know about your weaknesses, but if I were to list out the top 5 things that I am terrible at, definitely on that list would be rock climbing. I was at an indoor rock climbing place, and I finally figured out they have different colors for the varying degrees, you know, the things that you're grabbing onto, things, probably not the name of them, but the things that you're grabbing onto, the different colors. And I finally found one, the silver ones. I'm like, oh, these are fun. I can climb these. These are pretty easy. And then the person that was running the place walks over and goes, sir, those are just for emergencies if you have to get down. Those are designed to be easy, but the design is emergencies if you have to get down. So that gives you a little insight on how terrible a rock climber I am. But we're going to hear from the best rock climber in the world. Here we go with tip number 1.
So I started climbing in a gym when I was around 10 years old, which means that my life has been centered on climbing for more than 20 years. After nearly a decade of climbing mostly indoors, I made the transition to the outdoors and gradually started free soloing. I built up my comfort over time and slowly took on bigger and more challenging walls. And there have been many free solos before me, so I had plenty of inspiration to draw from. But by 2008, I'd repeated most of their previous solos in Yosemite and was starting to imagine breaking into new terrain. The obvious first choice was Half Dome, an iconic 2,000-foot wall that lords over the east end of the valley. The problem, though also the allure, was that it was too big. I didn't really know how to prepare for potential free solo. So I decided to skip the preparations and just go up there and have an adventure. I figured I would rise to the occasion, which, unsurprisingly, was not the best strategy. I did at least climb the route roped up with a friend 2 days before, just to make sure that I knew roughly where to go and that I could physically do it. But when I came back by myself 2 days later, I decided that I didn't want to go that way. I knew that there was a 300-foot variation that circled around one of the hardest parts of the climb. I suddenly decided to skip the hard part and take the variation, even though I'd never climbed it before. But I immediately began to doubt myself. Imagine being by yourself in the dead center of a 2,000-foot face, wondering if you're lost.
I I think one misconception we have, and part of that's what the media puts out there, is that these top people that excel at what they do never have any self-doubt. That might be true for some, but most, what we've discovered, is they will have that self-doubt, but they don't live there. That's the difference. When that creeps in, they don't live there. They say, this is just part of the normal process. I can't live here. Let's push through this. Let's make sure that we do everything we can to remove that doubt, whether that's training, whether that's practice. It's really about that's part of the process. And so all of you out there, I experience it almost every day where that self-doubt creeps in. You just can't live there. You've got to kind of move on from that. And a lot of times that's taking action. That's attacking it head on. Here's tip number two.
I didn't want to be a lucky climber. I wanted to be a great climber. I actually took the next year or so off from free soloing because I knew that I shouldn't make a habit of relying on luck. But even though I wasn't soloing very much, I'd already started to think about El Cap. It was always in the back of my mind as the obvious crown jewel of solos. It's the most striking wall in the world. Each year for the next 7 years, I'd think, this is the year that I'm going to solo El Cap. And then I would drive in Yosemite, look up at the wall, and think, no freaking way. It's too big and too scary. But eventually I came to accept that I wanted to test myself against El Cap. It represented true mastery. But I needed it to feel different. I didn't want to get away with anything or barely squeak by. This time I wanted to do it right.
It's interesting to note that the first time he tried to free solo El Capitan, that he got up there and said, whoop, I'm not ready for this, and decided to abort mission, which was great to have that conviction because there's a lot of people filming. There's a lot of people depending on him to make sure that he climbed it. They're filming it for National Geographic, which later went on the Netflix. So at least he had the guts to say, yep, I'm not ready. Let's kind of circle back and really get that training right. Can you imagine being on that rock face and just saying, uh-oh, this isn't feeling so well? Fortunately, they do have people near him to give him ropes to get down if that's the case. I don't know if it's me, but have you ever thought, like, when you climb Mount Everest, how do they get down? So I need to look that up. Is like, how do they get down once they reach that summit? Is there an easy back way to get down, or is it just easier to climb back down? That's just my random thought for today. Let's move on to tip number three.
No, I mean, I think part of that, though, is just because, like, that's always been kind of easy for me because I'm already doing the thing that I love most. You know, I'm already spending my time doing exactly what I want to be able to do, pursuing the goals that I care the most about. You know, and I was living in my van by choice because it allows me to climb as much as I want. You know, and I think that when you're living exactly the way that you want to be living, it's easy to give away what you don't need because, you know, you're already on exactly the path that you want.
Now, Alex was famous even before he did the Netflix climb El Capitan, because he completed some other free solos that were crazy on other mountain faces. And so he'd become famous overnight, but he still just kept to himself in his camper and read because he just wanted to continue to climb. And those that have seen the show probably want to know, did he marry Sonny? Did he marry his girlfriend? And they did wind up getting married. Here we are with tip number four.
As I practiced the moves, my visualization turned to the emotional component of a potential solo. Basically, what if I got up there and it was too scary? What if I was too tired? What if I couldn't quite make the kick? I had to consider every possibility while I was safely on the ground, so that when the time came and I was actually making the moves without a rope, there was no room for doubt to creep in. Doubt is the precursor to fear, and I knew that I couldn't experience my perfect moment if I was afraid. I had to visualize and rehearse enough to remove all doubt. But beyond that, I also visualized how it would feel if it never seemed doable. What if, after so much work, I was afraid to try? What if I was wasting my time and I would never feel comfortable in such an exposed position? There were no easy answers, but El Cap meant enough to me that I would put in the work and find out. Some of my preparations were more mundane. This is a photo of my friend Conrad Anker climbing up the bottom of El Cap with an empty backpack. We spent the day climbing together to a specific crack in the middle of the wall that was choked with loose rocks. They made that section of climbing difficult and potentially dangerous because any misstep might knock a loose rock to the ground and kill a passing climber or hiker. So, we carefully removed the rocks, loaded them into the pack, and rappelled back down. Take a second to imagine how ridiculous it feels to climb 1,500 feet up a wall just to fill a backpack full of rocks. It's never that easy to carry a pack full of rocks around. It's even harder on the side of a cliff. It may have felt silly, but it still had to get done. I needed everything to feel perfect if I was ever going to climb the route without a rope.
As mentioned earlier, you can have that self-doubt creep in as you're leading up to something or you're leading up to your goal. But once you start that execution, you have to prepare enough so that all that doubt goes away when you're in the moment. Whether that's you trying to throw a pass in the Super Bowl, whether it's you trying to give your speech at the local Rotary Club, at the local church, it's really that extra preparation to help remove all of that doubt. Now, part of his preparation, because he went up and he goes, whoa, 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 I'm not ready. And then he went down, as we previously mentioned. And so one of the things that he adjusted was his diet. His weakness is desserts. Mine too, you know, raise your hand if you love chocolate. And he banned himself from having any desserts. And he said it might have helped a few percentage points, whether that's points of fat. If you've ever seen this guy, there's no fat on his body. Or percentage points just on your excellence. But he said maybe not. More important for him, however, was the mental component. I just didn't want to be on the wall and think, oh man, I really shouldn't have eaten those biscuits. But in general, Hanald is a vegetarian. In preparation for the climb, he went almost completely vegan. He just didn't give up eggs. I hope that you are scaling your own El Capitan this year. And here we are moving on to tip number 5.
I don't know. I mean, so I worried about that a little bit with El Cap because I wanted to freestyle El Cap more than anything I've ever wanted in climbing. Basically, I mean, it was a more significant objective to me than anything else I've worked toward.
Right.
And I did certainly worry that it was, you know, too far out.
Right.
But then I don't know. The thing with climbing though is that you can just keep training. You can keep preparing. There's no time crunch. There's no pressure. There's nobody forcing me to do it one way or another. I was kind of able to work at my own pace and just keep working at it until I felt comfortable, you know, until I could finally look at the wall and be like, you know what? Like, it doesn't look that scary anymore. Like, I can do this. I am ready. I'm capable. I'm excited about it.
Alex again is digging into that preparation. Vince Lombardi, the great coach of the Green Bay Packers, said he never really coached on game day on Sunday because all the coaching was done prior to the game itself. So the game was just exciting, the enjoyment. If we did what we needed to do during the week, that proper preparation, that I didn't need to coach during the game. The other item that jumped in my mind is that obviously we're not going out and climbing these crazy mountains, but sometimes in life, we've got to remember that we control the remote control. So if we don't like what's happening, we've got to remember that we have the power to change that channel. So if you're going through a tough time right now or a season that you're not enjoying, just remember that you have the control to change it. You have that remote control. Go ahead and change that channel. Easier said than done. I forget this all the time. I'm like, wait, I've got the remote control right here in my pocket. Let's pull that out and change that channel. Here we are with tip number 6.
You know, at a certain point, I realized if I don't have a rope anyway, I may as well go anywhere because either way, the rope's not helping me. And so I sort of cast a wider net and I started looking at the wall with much broader eyes. Like maybe I should be 100 feet further right. Maybe I should be 100 feet further left, even though you could never be there with a rope. I was like, well, without a rope, you can go wherever you want. And so, you know, I started looking a lot more broadly and found a bunch of interesting variations. You know, the film doesn't dive into that stuff because it's subtle. But those are sort of the milestones, you know, the checkpoints along the process that I think were important for me.
Yeah.
There was a tremendous amount of effort that went into the preparation. And then the actual climb all went pretty smoothly. It's just 4 hours of climbing. But, you know, it's freaking months and months to get there.
Hearing Alex explain this, it's somewhat of a beautiful metaphor for all of us. I started to think, what are the ropes that I think that are helping me but are actually restricting me? It's because without ropes, you can go anywhere. And so what are the ropes in my life that I think that are actually helping me but might be restricting me? Anyways, it's something to really think about on a day-to-day level. And as we move on to our final tip, the reason that Alex originally started rock climbing by himself is because he's very, very shy. And so even when there's other mountain climbers out there, he wasn't comfortable enough to ask them, hey, do you want to join me? Now he's more than comfortable doing that. But growing up, he was a very shy kid, and so he'd always gravitate towards the open face of the rock. He didn't want to be around people. And then over time, that's something that has adjusted. Now he's married. He's gotten over a lot of that shyness. It's still inherently in there, but now he will have climbers go up there with him. Anyways, here we are with tip number 7.
Earlier this year, there was a winter storm warning for Vegas. It does snow in Vegas sometimes, in the mountains especially, like get snow. There's a winter storm warning for this like storm coming through, and I'd climbed like 20 days in a row basically or something, and I wanted to use the storm day to try to hike this one section of the traverse that I'm trying to do of all these peaks. I figured I would like take advantage of a non-climbing day to do the one walking section to like figure out where the route goes. And so I went out in this crazy storm, and when I started, it was like snowing a little, and I was like, and crazy wind, it's really cold. And I was trying out these new like waterproof layers just to see how, actually I wanted to try them out before the jungle to see if they'd be good jungle layers. And so I go up into the mountain. Anyway, long story short, I get completely worked. It turns out visibility is nothing. I didn't know where I was going. I get lost in the mountains. It wound up being basically too difficult of terrain to travel through in the snow. Because I'd sort of taken it for granted, but in Red Rock on those mountains, you walk on these like exposed sandstone slabs all the time. But when you cover them in like 6 inches of snow, it's like really kind of horrifying. You can't just like walk up the slabs anymore. It's like now a total tobogganing death trap where you're going to like slide down. You know, so I was like, anyway, so I go up quite a ways. Eventually, I just had to give up and like turn around. But I'm now, you know, 2,500 feet like up this mountainside. And then I turn around, and then it all was way more socked in. I couldn't even see my tracks anymore because everything's like filled in and visibility is nothing. And so I had like a Garmin watch on. So I kept like looking at the little track on my watch being like, am I to the left or the right of the track that I came up? You know, like no idea where I am, full mountainside. Keep falling down. And, you know, there's like...
You're falling?
Yeah, but like sliding over things or tripping on rocks. It's a really steep hillside with like, and you're stepping through, you know, say 6 or 8 inches of fresh powder, but underneath it's still like loose rocks and cactuses and things like that. So it's like, you know, the terrain it's not like a snow base or something.
Right.
It's like you're just stepping through it and falling over. Anyway, so I fell into cactuses a bunch of times. And so the thing is, I was totally hypothermic, completely wet, totally worked. And my hand had all these cactus thorns in it. And my other hand was too numb to like manipulate anything. So I wound up like biting the biggest thorns out and then just left the rest of them. Cause it's just, I just couldn't use my hands and just keep staggering down the mountain. Anyway, eventually I like made it back to the car, made it back to the house. And then I had my wife pull all the thorns out. Cause I couldn't really use my hands. I was so worked, but I was kind of like, but that was like my rest day adventure. You know what I mean? That's like, I mean, it turned out being way more.
Harrowing.
I was hoping that it was going to go better than that, and it didn't really work out. But that is kind of the point, that when you take on that elective love, you know, I was like, I had a goal that I wanted to piece together this section of a hike. It didn't work out that way. I wound up, you know, building a bunch of character instead. But, you know, you're just like, that's just a normal day out. You know, it's like when you're adventuring in the mountains, sometimes those winter storm advisories actually happen, you know.
That is my favorite tip of the day. All of us can experience that. We walk outside, every morning's fresh, and all of a sudden we walk out, and all of a sudden this storm, whatever that storm is metaphorically, comes and hits us. And so that's why we always talk about, especially in my new book, The Focus Project, shameless plug, we talk about attacking the day before the day attacks you. But also understanding with my ancestors, I've got a little Scandinavian blood in me, and I love the Scandinavian saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad attire. And so instead of going, oh man, I can't believe this is happening to me, this bad weather, whatever that metaphor is for your bad weather, it's really just about, oh, I just got to have the right attire on and we're all set. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I can't believe we're over 100 episodes. That's all because of you. I can't believe we've rocked that and we're now rocking our way to 200. But part of that success is because you've taken the time to post reviews. So if you haven't done so and you feel compelled to do so, it really helps other people that probably need this podcast more than you even. They need to discover this podcast because they need to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. But can't thank everybody enough for joining us here today. Thank you also for continuing to get the book, The Focus Project. It has got continued to scale up on the ratings. So thanks for posting the ratings there. And also just it continues to sell like hotcakes, as they say in Michigan. It continues to sell like hotcakes. But anyways, thank you so much for making that a possibility as well. Hopefully you're getting a lot out of it. That's it for today's show. This is your guest. This is your guest. This is your host. Come on. This is your host, Eric Qualman. Love you, know me as Equal Man. Until next time, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind. 7.
Six.
Five.
Four. Three.
Two.
One.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.